is actually causing me to be dizzy, to have vertigo. So they are trying to pull me out of that treatment. That's why I'm a bit shaky. But other than that, I'm okay. So, we have called the meeting to consider three items. The first one will be the minutes of the previous meeting. The second one will be the briefing by the department on the developmental status of the 400 cooperatives funded by the department since its inception. And then the third item will be the consideration of the KZN January-February draft report on oversight visit by the portfolio committee. Can we start with the apology? Are there any apologies?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, DG and colleagues from the department. I've got an apology of Mr. Begwa, Honourable Begwa, and also an apology of the Minister and the Deputy Minister, and then also received through Mr. Chance the apology of Honourable Kruger, who will join the meeting later. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Kruger.
Morning, Chair and colleagues. I'm requesting that I will leave at 12:20. Yes.
Thank you very much. Can we then go to the second item, which is the minutes of our previous meeting? Do members need some time to read the minutes, or they have gone through them? We are on page one of the minutes. Page two. Page three. Honourable Chan.
Yes, Chair. On paragraph 7, fifth line from the bottom, the words goods and services need to be inserted between annual and budget. Budget is not 500,000 rand. The budget for goods and services is 500,000 rand. I'd hate to think that a budget of 500,000 rand was going to cover the cost of the salaries of five permanent employees. Maybe that's what it should cover, but anyway, it's a different story. Got that, King?
Okay. Page 4. Can we have a mover and a seconder for the minutes with the amendment? Honourable Chan.
I move that they be adopted.
Honourable Mabaso.
I second that the minutes be adopted with the amendment.
Thank you very much. The minutes of the meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Small Business, which was held on the 22nd of February 2017, has been adopted. Thank you very much. Can we then move to the second item, which is the briefing by the department on the developmental status of the 400 cooperatives funded by the Department of Small Business since its inception.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Chair, I want to ask for more time to prepare to work to bring this presentation. We have worked on it on something, Chair, and it clearly indicates that we need to do a little bit more work on the request by the committee. We are working on presenting the committee with a sample of the 400 co-ops that have been funded, because it is not possible for us to go and visit each of the co-ops, and our view is that if you do research, it would be you take a reasonable sample. We've done, for example, post-assessment, post-disbursement visits with 47% of the cooperatives that have been funded, and we have done different kinds of engagement, more qualitative engagements, and further work with another set of cooperatives, and we regret the fact that we are not ready to present do the briefing as the committee requested, and we are requesting more time to repackage the information that we do have.
Honourable Members.
Thank you very much. In view of the request placed before the committee by DG, I will move that we accept their request, but I will amend that we accept their request without the qualification that was made by the DG. Let's just say the topic stands as it stands, briefing on developmental status of all 400 cooperatives funded by the department since its inception. And then I will suggest we ignore the part that the DG added, so that when we do entertain the report, we entertain it as spelled out on the agenda without the qualification. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Honourable Meswen, Honourable Chan, Honourable Mabe.
Chairperson, while I agree with my colleague, Honourable Mabasa, and also acknowledge that it won't be easy for them to visit all the 400 cooperatives, I want to know roughly to date how many cooperatives have been visited. At least there should be some information about some. So how many cooperatives have been visited to date, and more or less what is the status of those that have been visited? Thank you.
Is that the point of order?
No.
Yes, Honourable Mabasa.
While noting what Reverend Misho is saying, I will suggest that that becomes part of the answer becomes part of the report that will be rendered to the committee, because if we are not careful, it is very easy for us to find ourselves going into discussing this report unintentionally, you know. But I am as anxious as the Reverend is to know whether they have just visited two or whether they have visited 398. But why don't we leniently give them time so that we get a well-considered response? You know, but that's my feeling. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Honorable Mwabe. Oh, Honorable Chance, I'm sorry. Honorable Chance.
Thank you, Chair. Look, I'm very disappointed that we're not going to get this presentation. I have a question for the DG, which is to ask her, when was the decision made by the department to request the postponement? First of all. Secondly, how long do you need in order to get your presentation ready? And, those are my two questions. I may have some follow-up questions, Chair, but we'll see what the answers are to those for the moment.
Honourable Ngap.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the members and to the department and the support staff. Firstly, Chair, I think Honourable Mabasa will have to work hard to convince me to support his proposal, because I'm not supporting it at all, and I know I'll be defeated by the majority. I would have supported it if the DG said, out of 400 honorable members, we have only 15 or 30 to present, or 40. But to say all of them, there's no report, and this is just a developmental status as to what is going on there. And number two, I'm not satisfied. In fact, I need more response and clarity when the DG is saying it's not possible to visit all of them, but it was possible to fund all of them. To me, it raises the other thing now. If you will fund someone, and when we have to do the assessment of what that person is doing, then we'll say it's not possible for me to visit. I do not get that one at all. I will need more clarity on that. But as it stands, Chairman, I'm not supporting the view that we just innocently accept the request. There must be really some genuine reasons, except saying it's not possible to visit them. Tina, during the oversight, we visited all 12 in about 4 days. And I do not know now if the department, with all the resources they have, they would say it's not visible. I mean, it's not possible to go and monitor where they put their money. I'm really not happy. I'm just stressed when I hear those words. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Mabas, I'm tempted to go to end you for labor.
Yes, but let me withdraw my
argument. Okay. I'm tempted to stop you, Honorable Mabasa, if you are going to respond on behalf of the department. Unless if you are withdrawing what you have said, I will then allow you to speak.
I'm persuaded by my members of parliament, and I withdraw my proposals.
And we have a response from the Honorable Cup.
That's just a small one, Chair. Maybe my time has not come yet. I'm just asking to correct one legal but critical thing to me. The DG several times says this was a request from the committee, and she's making a request. Maybe this is what makes things difficult. I think it would have been a directive from the committee. Because if it is a request from the committee that, please, if you can afford, can you please give us the report about the 400? For it to be a request, to me, it's a recipe for not succeeding. Maybe it's better to understand it as not a request or something else. And therefore, they come with a request. Thank you, Chair.
Can we have a response from the department?
Oh. we have done in before we do we fund projects, all projects are visited. So there are pre assessment or disbursement visits to all of the projects, and that is the basis for funding it. Our procedures provides for post disbursement visits. That's what our standard operating procedures provides for. And what that provides for is if the funding has been given for fencing or the funding has been given for equipment, the post disbursement visit is to establish whether that which we provided the money for is there. The department has not progressed to the point where it does goes and measures the developmental status. Honourable Chair, when we presented the program review, we said to this committee there were certain of the programs which we have to restructure and upscale. And we are still in the process of changing our approach to how we will deal with cooperatives. So we haven't put any new procedures in place, and we are very mindful of the fact that this standard operating procedures, as we have inherited it, is that they are inadequate. That they will never on its own take cooperatives to fall to its space in the economy and in society as it is able to. We have done, of the 400 we visited, we did post-disbursement visits of 169, which is 47% of it. And my colleague Holani can talk about what the status, what they found and what the status was, because he headed that unit of work. I can't say exactly when the decision was made. There has been some correspondence asking the committee whether the directive that we had to present the briefing, whether that can be done at another stage. We had indicated that we have commissioned a study on the cooperative incentive scheme and on the black business, the other incentives that we have, BBSDP. But that information will only be available in November. We're looking, we haven't entered into a contract with a service provider, and we can make that information available sooner. Yeah, I think I've answered all of the questions. Maybe if Kolani can talk to what happened with the 169 that was visited. We've also done, maybe I'm going to say in addition to that, there's probably about 50 or so additional cooperatives which we have engaged with differently. It is cooperatives which we put into, for example, the 12 in KZN. Then there are another few that we've taken that were ready to participate in a different program, and then we have some case studies on roughly another 10. So I think there were qualitative engagements, I'd say, with about 30 of the cooperatives. And we can, and if the committee wants us to present each of those 30 case studies, we can do so, or we can present a few and begin to say what were the lessons that were drawn from it.
Honorable Charles, followed by Honorable Ngob.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chair, but I think words almost are failing me in describing my response to what I'm hearing. It's unbelievable, actually. The CIS has been going for 10 years. Millions, billions of rands have been poured out of the state coffers. And a standard operating procedure which assesses the impact of this money has yet to be developed or is not adequate. I mean, it would seem to be a first fundamental of any state program that there are checks and balances on how the money is spent, and that there should be just an obvious reporting mechanism in place that makes sure that the cooperatives that are funded send information through to the department on a regular basis. And in answer to the response, or the follow-up question as to when the decision was made not to present, I mean, obviously it was made virtually this morning. I mean, I can't imagine any other reason for Mr. Ndumo being in this room today. You know, it was a last-minute decision based upon your assessment, DG, of the inadequacy of the facts that were able to be presented this morning. You know, yet again, it's you know, it's an indication of crisis management in the department. Crisis management is when decisions are made at the last minute owing to inadequate systems being in place in an organization. And, you know, what I'm saying today is only reiterated when I read the report that we're going to be considering this afternoon, after the break, which I read with the growing degree of horror, the report on the visits to KZN, because it seems that the department has failed in every single one of its commitments to the 12 cooperatives in KZN. Every single one. You know, it's if I had been in your position, Chair, DG, and still more the ministers, it would have been an obvious thing to just cease all funding for cooperatives until these problems have been sorted out. Notwithstanding the pleas that are coming from the communities, some of which I'm sure are absolutely valid, but you can't just carry on throwing money at the wall and hoping some is going to stick. It's not. And I think that the chairperson must make a very public statement that the department has failed in this and that we demand, not request, answers from the department forthwith as to the performance of this program. And if it cannot satisfy itself, let alone us, that it is achieving its goals, it must be closed down.
Honorable.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'm still not clear, Chair, on what I've asked. Yes, the DG have tried to explain, but I'm still in the dark. Because I ask, what makes it impossible to visit all of them? Now, the simple term would be, maybe it's a financial constraint, so that it comes to us when we debate the budget. Or it's a capacity in terms of personnel, or maybe roads are accessible in those cooperatives so that we speak to transport, something like that, Chair. But why is not possible? And here we are talking about the funded cooperatives since the inception of the department. To me, it would be easy to say, oh no, 6 of them are already supplying SPA. 7 of them already supply PK. There should be some achievement that the department knows by without even making a thorough research on that. But I'm still not convinced as to what makes it impossible to visit all of them. Since 2014. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Meshe.
Chairperson, I would want to know the time frames between the first funding and the post-disbursement visit. What's the time frame? Is it just guesswork, or after a number of months that funding has been given, there will be a post-disbursement visit? That's the first question. And the second question, obviously, they have been running for about 2 years. The department has been running for 2 years. And I want to know why the 251 have not been visited, because only 149, according to what the DG said, have had their post-disbursement visit. Thank you.
Teacher? I'm going to ask Holani to deal with the actual post-assessment visits. And the time frame in between, and maybe the earlier question of what some of the findings were. From HA.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. I'm going to try to answer the question of the post-disbursement and the inheritance that we got with. As a start, whilst we're the previous ministry, there was a unit that was specifically tasked with doing monitoring and evaluation of all the projects. And when we moved over this to the new ministry, unfortunately, that whole function was left behind. And the team that is currently working on the CIS unit has to be spread to have those that are focused on getting the applications approved and those that will support in doing post disbursement visits. And hence, we haven't had the chance of doing the monitoring because it was done by a separate function, and I think we, as a department, there is movement towards getting capacity on the monitoring and evaluation unit. And with regards to after post disbursement, we give suppliers to disburse to implement 3 to 6 months. So usually the visits will then be undertaken after 3 to 6 months once payment has been made. Thank you.
A follow-up question. The mandate for development of SMMEs and cooperatives migrated from DTI. The function and responsibilities of developing SMMEs and cooperatives. And if that mandate migrated, it also meant that resources both human resources and financial resources also had to migrate. I then find it very, very difficult to understand why, when that function migrated, half of the resources would not migrate with the function. They would remain in DTI when DTI is no longer mandated to develop cooperatives and SMMEs. I would find it very, very difficult to understand. And I think DG has to explain this to us. Guti, how did it happen that only half of the resources, in terms of human resources, and I would even guess then that even the financial resources remained with DTI, the DTI that no longer had a responsibility of monitoring the development aspects of cooperatives, and only the post-disbursement monitoring migrated, which then means it was a deliberate thing to kill the cooperatives, to say they can be given money, they can be the post-disbursement can be monitored, but the actual work of development will not be done by this department. How did that happen, and why was it allowed to happen? Was it not the decision of the president to establish a new department and mandate it to develop SMMEs and cooperatives? Therefore, meaning that that responsibility is no longer with the Department of Trade and Industry. And all the resources, functions and resources that were earmarked for cooperatives had then to shift to the new department. That question will be followed by the question of the critical infrastructure that has not migrated. The critical infrastructure that supports the cooperative that is still with DTI. But the cooperatives and SMMEs are no longer with DTI. So was it negotiations from a position of weakness from the Department of Small Business, dictated upon by the Department of Trade and Industry in terms of what can be taken by the Department of Small Business and what cannot be taken by it.
Chair, I was personally not part of the migration. But there is a process that is led by the presidency. The presidency and DPSX, it's not the first time that government has gone through that process. There's a formal procedure for that, and there's a formula for how that split should happen. Now, this question of what should have come to our department and what didn't come has been on the cards. In fact, last Friday, I met with the DG, at a formal meeting with the DG of the DTI, to, among other, talk about this. They hold the view that this is a process that was overseen. It wasn't just done with how the DTI, at their whim, so to speak, but it was overseen as I reported, and that there is a report. We concluded that they have to give me a copy of that report. The fact is that DTI had, it's an established department, it had an established research unit. So their research capacity remained. And this M&E that was done from the quarters of DTI's research unit and the M&E capacity in there. It is that research unit that did the report. There was a 207 report on the status. I think it established a baseline on the survival and attrition of cooperatives. And it's out of that report that they concluded about the 88% attrition rate. I have reported to this committee. I mean, it is known that we were operating under the ambit of the DTI until the 31st of March 2016. With effect 1 April 2016, for the first time, this department established a research unit, a research and policy unit. We did not recruit researchers and M&E specialists from anywhere. All that we knew we needed to have that function, and what we did was to reassign people who most suited those functions according to their experience and their qualifications. So various frameworks have been developed, an M&E framework, etc., but we had to develop these instruments. The department did not have it. It did not have a policy function and a research and M&E function before that. So that is the truth. So it is a issue of capacity. That new branch, the research and policy unit, only got 9% of our total budget. But they've done good work in the year to establish the function. The budget that we have, it was there wasn't, it's still that same programs and operations budget with the normal increases. I can bring that report to the committee again, but I have indicated how over the years the increases in the budget. Last year, we got an increase in our budget for operations, and it was for three specific things, for incubators, for NEVIS, and for about three things. We did not receive extra money to have capacity. And essentially, we are still sitting with the capacity that we had when we came from the TTI. So it is a capacity problem. And, Chair, it takes a long time to establish a department. And the fact that we now have a research unit doesn't mean that the officials were ready to run and to be able to do this work. But we will get there. We will be able to do that.
There are follow-up questions, but I also want to point out to the DG that the question asked by Honorable Mwabe, I want to simplify it. In your submission, DG, you said all 400 were visited before the funding. That's what you said. And then only 149 could be visited after funding. And also the focus was to check whether what was paid for by the department was delivered. There was no focus on what happens thereafter. Then the question from Honorable Mwabe and Honorable Mesha is in twofold. How is it possible that you are able to visit all 400 before disbursement, and it is not possible to visit all 400 after disbursement? We are talking about the post-disbursement. Then the second one relates to what you expect to happen after disbursement. In your view, is that the end of your interaction with cooperatives? And if it is not at the end of your interaction with cooperatives, what then becomes the next step after 6 months? Which then talks to the developmental nature of the department. It's a department for small business development. It's not a funding institute that disperses CIS grant. It's a developmental department. It has to develop cooperatives. Means that the CIS is one of the instruments for developing cooperatives. So you inject that CIS in order to develop cooperatives. What then happens? What is it that you do when you have given cooperatives the CIS? Do you sit back? That is the second part of the question in terms of the follow-up that you do. Because, Tina, we have asked the department to come and report to us the developmental status of 400 cooperatives that were funded. Developmental status. What have we achieved by investing 134 million funding 400 cooperatives? Is that money down the drain, or we can see some results? That is the nature of the question. So I have clarified what the question from Mr. Mngabe, Honorable Mngabe and Honorable Mesho is asking. And then after that, I am going to give them an opportunity to ask the follow-up question, starting with Honorable Mesho, Honorable Mngabe, and Honorable Chan. Honorable Mlaut. Congratulations, Advocate Mlaotse. So we have two people now who are learned in law, Mngabe and Mlaotse. Thank you. Honorable Mesher?
I give preference to my learned friend here.
That's a blessing indeed. Thank you, Chair. It's not a question per se, but I would just want the department to take this with them back. During the State of the Nation debate, I told the President that when we speak of radical economic transformation, which is something that my party also supports, we should also consider the development of cooperatives, because with SMEs, I mean, you empower that individual. Now, in his response to my debate, the President said the government is prioritizing the cooperatives. He spent his time explaining that. He even said on the national spending of the government, there is a percentage of the government to buy directly from cooperatives. I think the Chair will guide me in terms of the language that the President used, was it's an organizational language. But he said that there is a percentage that the government has to purchase from cooperatives. Now, my frustration, Chair, is when the cooperatives that have been funded by us, the government, cannot be accounted for, or seem not to be ready to supply the government, where will the government get these cooperatives to purchase from? Because in my view, I've thought that these 400 are in the state of readiness to achieve or receive what the government will be purchasing from them. That's my worry. It's like, Chair, the President speaks another thing, and the department or the officials in various department, they will do another thing. And the question will be whether those people are residing within South Africa. When the President speaks, they are not here. After that, they will come and implement. It's totally different. That was my concern, Chair, that seemingly there is no understanding from what the vision of the government is and what those who are in offices are doing. I'm still confused, Chair, that the whole 400, we do not know their status. That's a serious concern with me. Thanks.
Honorable Mesha? Honorable Chan?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I just, first of all, want to make a comment that the separation at birth of the DBSD from its mother ship seems to have been premature. The umbilical cord was cut too soon before all the nutrients that were supplied to the baby could be supplied by the baby on its own rather than through its mother. But, you know, it's not beyond the wit of the department to go back to, you know, the DTI and say, please, can you give us these services in the meantime? Can you please, you know, subcontract your monitoring and evaluation and research capabilities so that we can make sure that the money that we're giving to these co-ops is actually spent correctly? I mean, that's just basic management. Why wasn't it done? And DG, again, I come back to the question, which is, you know, unbelievable for me, is that there has not been any consequences for underperformance in this department in terms of your personnel. I have not seen it. And I think the questions need to be asked. Answers need to be provided. How can this be that you're able to bring all these people over into this department and yet make excuses? The whole point about a new broom is that a new broom can sweep out dead wood. And I don't see it happening. But it's probably too late now because you're as implicated in the problem as ever anybody else. You've been around for over a year. So now what happens?
Honorable Mlaotsi, followed by Honorable Chap.
Thanks. Thanks, Chair. I'm not surprised when we see this thing more special to the cooperatives, because this department was established in 2014 and it was mandate of the ruling party, I think, from Mangaon's conference. It was not new in the environment of the government and the ruling party. So on the establishment of the department, Honorable Mavasa, I'm still recalling him when he said the name is wrong. It must also include cooperative development. So the cooperatives are still now on periphery. Nobody cares, nobody doing anything. And it's like only in the whole ruling party, it's the only two people who understand this cause. It's the chairperson, Honorable Bengu, and the president. All these other people, they don't read their own NDP, which says 90% of jobs must be from the small business and cooperatives. How could you produce 90% job in this pace of lazy officials? This department is formed from the branch from DTI. Most of the people who are in this department, 90% are from the DTI. It's not a new thing from the, it was a branch. They should have been excelling in this department because they are given full mandate without bound to the minister who is busy of DTI bigger picture. They have their own minister, they have their own DTI, but always when we're here, the chairperson must be busy teaching the people what is this cause. From 2014, 15, 16, we're now on the 17, people are still being taught. I think we have the wrong people at the right policy of the government. Look, to show that this department, they don't took it serious, because the NDP said it clear. But look, the budget from the treasury also, it's not biased to the small business. They give us 3.9 billion, and not they are not going to give us now in April, in the MTF. You see, how can you frustrate this economical radical transformation which the president is always talking? The president is talking this, the other, the minister is talking this, the department specifically for the speaking this. We're not going anywhere, Chairperson, if you go by this pace. I think you, as part of the ruling party, go to your drawing board. Otherwise, this NDP and this radical economic transformation is just a smoke dream. Because the purpose of the ruling party to establish this department is to fast-track the empowerment of the small business and cooperatives. But nothing is happening. Only excuses. No, I was not there when this happened. We have changed the DDG, acting DDG, the DGs and everything. Nothing. It's only frustration when we're here. So we, as the representative of the people, Chairperson, we ask your protection not to be abused by coming here and listening to the stories. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Tapa, followed by Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'll do you a favor. I won't speak. I will only ask three questions. And in turn, you will do me a favor by having the questions answered. One, who in the department is responsible for what we want? in this case, I think the DG would be able to say, in my structure or in my organization, I expect it to come from so-and-so, or it's myself. Who is actually responsible for this? Because if there's no one responsible, we'll keep on shooting in the dark. That's question number one. Number two, we're talking of capacity. Who does not have capacity? If it is the department that does not have that, let that be explained. If there are individuals who do not have capacity, let it be clear that there are individuals who are there but do not have the capacity to be there, or the entire department does not have a capacity to get this money and have the department. Number three, the last one, what is it that is going to be done differently for this to be done, if, as it is requested, that we need some time to go and do this? What is it that is going to be done differently to make it happen? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, Chair, and my apologies for being late. Technology keeps me awake at night, so my technology is not working. But in any case, Chair, yes, let me carry on with the questions. The problem of the department, it's about the KPIs. And it seems like the department is chasing numbers, number one, and number two, the department chasing money spent, number two. So, and of course, human beings are human beings, and they realize this long ago, even in the DTI already. So the community will run after this money, you know, always everybody's running after money. So there's a lot of double dipping taking place at the moment. So it seems like the department is happy spending a lot of money. But my question is, what is their strategy to stop double dipping, and how many of these cooperatives are known by the department? Is there a database, with other words, that can stop double dipping? Because I think it's a huge problem. You can, if you listen to the budget, this government spends enormous amount of money every year, and it seems like the money is not getting to the grassroots level where the problems are. So it's not just in this department. I think we can look over the spectrum of government. There's a huge problem. So my question, Chair, is about the double dipping and the database that they kept to stop double dipping. Thank you.
A response?
Thank you very much, members. I'll attempt to answer the questions posed earlier about the development status of the 400 cooperatives. As my colleague...
Sorry, Bob. Don't attempt. And take us seriously, please. The department accounts to Parliament. So when you come to us, give us the facts. Don't try and attempt to answer, because that word on its own means that A, you are thinking on your feet on how to satisfy us. Give us factual information. Don't attempt to answer. The department must move away from the notion that the portfolio committee doesn't know anything, and the portfolio committee can't say anything to the department. You account to Parliament through us. The department accounts to Parliament through us. Parliament is one of the three arms of the state. So the department must get that correctly. That when you come to us, we have come to account to Parliament. We have come to account in terms of the mandate of the department. We have come to account in terms of the government of South Africa that has a responsibility of developing cooperatives, that has committed that it is going to transform the economy in this country. So you are accounting in that context.
Thank you, Chairperson. So the reality is the department was not structured to discharge the responsibility of monitoring the development status of the supported cooperatives. But with the benefit of hindsight, we have now started a process of working with SEDA as part of reconfiguring the department so that it answers the questions that we are in a position to provide the information that is required. So this process of M&E will be aided by our collaboration with SEDA to assist us with post and with pre and post investment support. Now, we feel that once that has happened, it will give the department enough space and free some human resources to perform the function of doing M&E on the supported projects. Now, there's an exercise that the department is undertaking currently, which is to reconfigure itself. And at the center of that reconfiguration is to empower the department to be able to focus on M&E specifically, not just to check whether material was delivered or not, but on checking the developmental indicators of cooperatives, which we will determine through the M&E unit. So that is a process that...
Can you stop there? So,
you will be monitoring. I just want to understand whilst you are. You are in a process of establishing the M&E on the developmental status of cooperatives. Who will be responsible for developing cooperatives? Honorable Ngobe Meshwe Elkos.
Chair, please interpret this one. Ngifuna ukuyibeka ngendlela ezozwakala ngayo kumzulu. Uqala ngokukhipha imali umnikeze umuntu so millions of rand. Uma usumnikezile usuthi usazama iy'ndlela-ke manje zokubheka ukuthi umlandelela kanjani ukuthi leyo mali yenzini. Ayakho imiqondo leyo nto leyo. Uqala kanjani ngokukhipha imali bese uthi angazi-ke manje ngizomlandelela kanjani lo muntu ukuthi ngabe uyaperforma naye already imali is out. Ngenkathi umnikeze imali wena ubuthi uzomlukhuza kanjani, ubuthi uzomlandelela kanjani ukuthi le mali iyayenza yendlo nto. I don't know, you start by giving the money away, after that to sit down and try to open a section of monitoring. How is that possible?
Chairperson, I think earlier we were told that when SMMEs and cooperatives were under DTI, that there was a unit that looked at monitoring and evaluation. But when SMMEs and the cooperatives migrated, that unit remained. But now we are hearing that they are planning to collaborate with SEDA to help them with monitoring. I don't understand that, because there are resources in DTI and a unit that did monitoring to ensure that they had to fulfill their mandate. Why is that unit not coming into this department rather than go to CEDA, because CEDA is not also equipped and capacitated to do monitoring? Thank you.
Honorable Paul.
Hey, thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Ngabe has just covered me on the question of planning. That as a department, you cannot start by dishing out money without any plans to monitor the intention of the usage of that money. And I'm listening to Mzo that they've just approached CEDA now that for assistance in terms of development, or whether I got it correctly. And then to me it says CEDA is a new entity. It was not existing in the department. If it is considered now that it can play a role in assisting the department. So really, it's a worrying factor that we'll speak with the department on daily basis, and the department, when it moves here, they go and rest and pretend as if everything is well, and come out with the excuses that they come out with. That is worrying, Chairperson.
The department.
Chair, on the question of how is it possible to do the visits before disbursement and not post disbursement, and we do the visits with the resources that we have, but it also is the reason why it takes so long to turn around. I'm sure that honorable members have reports of people who have applied 2 years ago for the CIS and have been waiting to hear from us because it takes so long. So it's the time involved in being able to do that and the people that we have available to do that. In order to correct that, we started in, I think it was around the second quarter in this year, where we started the process of getting CEDA to do the pre-investment visits for us. We took advantage of the fact that CEDA has got these 58 offices all over and they're experienced business advisors, which means that the turnaround time was very, very much quicker. Some of the things in the delays for cooperatives to be assisted is that their papers are incomplete or something, they need advice for the processing. CEDA was able to render that support on the turn. So it shortened turnaround times, and we have found that has assisted the process. When Mzor says we've now approached CEDA to do the post assessment visit, it's not something that is in place. It is something that we are considering doing, because our advice, honorable members will see in the APP that we will bring, is that we have to sharpen our role as a national department. Is policy, it's legislation, it's regulation, it's oversight, it's monitoring and evaluation. And we have to push our entities to do the implementation. So we've experimented with transferring some of the implementation roles to CEDA. Ultimately, the monitoring will remain our function, but certainly the implementation of that, the post-investment visits, the post-investment support, business support, those are things that CEDA can do. And those are things that we're working through right now. In fact, as we speak, we have a document on the implementation programs that we are going to transfer to our entities and what the modalities of that migration will be. Then the question was, what becomes our next step in order to be developmental? And to have a more developmental approach, because as I've said, we realize the limitations of the approach, the existing approach. We're very happy to come and present to the committee that we've begun to put together a model of integrated support to cooperatives. We've engaged Treasury around it and we're working very hard to get the funding for that. And therefore, in our view, and we're piloting the model in different. We see, even though there were huge mistakes that were made in the 12 KZN cooperatives, but I think that in itself, we can do. The one thing is to beat ourselves over the head about how we've not done our work in KZN, but to take the lessons and say, what does that teach us about what our role is as a national government department in that, and how do we work with others in order to strengthen this model of cooperative development support. As the department mandated and entrusted with that function, our job is to guide the rest of government in how they must do that. I think there was a question about how do we work with, maybe it was not now, if I find, what I'm indicating is that we have this integrated approach or model of support to cooperatives, which we will be happy to share with the committee. Our view is just doing CIS and the training on its own is not going to enable cooperatives to drive the radical transformation, economic transformation that they are capable of. In terms of the set-asides and the statement that the president said that there's a view that we will corporatize cooperatives. The set-aside has been, the 30% set-aside for small businesses and cooperatives has been on the table for a while. It was, the regulations were gazetted on the 22nd of January. So it now is a reality and it will become effective on the 1st of April. So on the question of where are we going to find the cooperatives to participate in that. The research that we did an analysis of the 400 cooperatives. And of the 400 cooperatives, around 75% of them, not around, 75% of them are in the agriculture sector, 15% in the manufacturing sector, and 10% in the services sector. And the others are scattered in other sectors, although that covers it all. So it means that if we work with the cooperatives that we have, it is about cooperatives who would then be ready to make use of the procurement facilities of government's 500 billion procurement budget that are for agricultural products and services. And that is a unit of work that we are busy with. For example, if you read the regulations, it doesn't become compulsory, but I have been engaging, and Minister will have to engage with her counterparts, and I've got to engage with DGs, and I've already begun to do that, to say, please indicate to me what value of your, which component of your goods and services will be set aside, will you use to implement the set aside of 30%. And we will have to confine the SMMEs.
Sorry, DG. I think you have missed the question. The 30%, can you switch your mic off?
I'm sorry.
The 30% is on the demand side. The 30% procurement is on the demand side. opening the market, access to market. The president has done that. He has opened the market for cooperatives 30%, which was one of the issues, access, lack of access to market. The question is not about that. The question is, where would they come from? Having them registered doesn't mean that they are there, they are able to supply. And the department mandated to develop them is this one. That is the question. Respond to that. How does this department, what is the strategy of this department to develop the supply side? Not the demand side. The demand side has been opened by president. 30% is there, set aside. Where is the supply side? And who is responsible for coordinating the development of the supply side? That is the question. Honorable Thabo.
Please, Chair, I ask you to do me a favor. That I'm not going to speak, I'm not going to say things. I'm only asking my three questions to be answered. Because as long as he has not answered those questions, you'll continue milking a bull. Because all the things you are saying, do not make it, do not say to me that what we want is going to be done. Because what I want to know is that this is going to be done, because now I think we are starting to craft the report, maybe that we'll need in 6 months or so. But what I need to know this thing, because if not, to me, because I think we had an answer which was indicating to us that it is not possible to do this job, or it has not been possible to do this job. And a key word there was capacity. And therefore, if that is not addressed, we'll keep on going up and down, and we don't address what you want to do, and at the end of the day, this is not going to be done. Because if it is not going to be done, we should know now that it is not possible for it to be done, or it will be done in this way and this way. Thank you, Chair.
Can we start by responding to that question first, and then, Honourable Cost?
Chairperson, I wanted to make just a slight addition in that one as to when is it going to be done, on the question of Honourable Thapa.
DJ and your team. The unit that is responsible for that work is led by MZO. The unit that is now the program design and support unit. The person who is specifically responsible for the development of cooperatives is sitting next to me, Chef Ndomo. The person who is responsible for market access, who is driving the transversal agreements with departments and the implementation plans of public works needs that, where do we find the people, how are we going to do that, in which sector. That work that is active is being driven by one of the other members in Zor's team, FINA. All of these units are undercapacitated. And we will do all of that. We are not going to do that alone. We will have to do that in partnership with the various departments. And Treasury has offered to give us additional assistance from their midst in order to support us. Because this statement of we actually don't have the people to do all that is required. We have put it out there, and we have been provided with support for, or we will be provided for support when we ask for that. I don't know if that answers the question of who is who is responsible for this work and the issue of capacity.
Where do you locate the lack of capacity? Who does not have this capacity?
I think.
And then the last question is the one that says, what is it that is going to be done differently for this to happen? And then you have your last question from Honorable Mabasa.
All of these units, as I've said, are under-resourced. Jeff, in his unit, that does the training that is responsible for cooperative development, that is responsible for driving this integrated model on cooperative support, has got three people. The team that works on market access, I think, is only just one director or the two directors. It's also a small team. The reality is we are a staff establishment of 196. 105 of those people are in administration. They're in HR, they are in finance, they are in IT, functions that every department must have. The other 91 people are the people who must run the entire core business. That is the reality of our capacity.
Honorable Chan?
Sorry, Chair, I haven't had an answer to my question, which is that it seems odd that the department did not subcontract back to the DTI to do this monitoring and evaluation when that's where it was done before. Why could that not be done as an interim measure until you got the capacity within the department? And then secondly, just the statistic you revealed just now is also unbelievable, that 55% of your staff are actually admin rather than delivering the services that are needed from the department.
Honorable Mwabe, Honorable Mission, Honorable Kozo.
Thanks, Chair. Because I was coming with a different proposal, but there are hands already. I will hold back for now. Because I was going to propose that we release the department. We are not getting what we want. We have our own report where we visited this 12 cooperative. We should be dealing with our own and release them. But they should tell us, give us a time frame when they'll be ready. Maybe after taking these two questions, we can just release them because you are really chasing the wind.
Chairperson, may I ask three questions? And maybe when the department comes back, they will come with answers. The first question, I want to know when SMMEs and cooperatives were part of DTI. That the unit that was equipped to deal with those two important new requirements, I want to know what exactly were they capacitated with, so that we can know that when migration took place, they left, what should have migrated with this new department? What exactly did they have? And how much money was allocated to only the unit looking at SMMEs and cooperatives? That's the first one. And the second one, from the 1st of April, we are told that this 10% set-aside is going to be implemented. Are there any cooperatives that they know that are ready to deliver? I would want to know how many cooperatives, to their knowledge, are ready or will be ready on the 1st of April, because we only have a month before this is implemented. And thirdly, if we can have a list of who is qualified to do what in the department, so that we are not told that there is no capacity. Capacity, is that human capacity or is it skills? What are we really talking about? Because if they have staff, are they all in admin? I think about 100 and something, the majority are in admin. I cannot understand why so many people
105 are in admin. So can we be given the list of responsibilities and who is qualified to do what? Thank you.
Chairperson, I'm just appealing now for direction from the department as to whether they are prepared to deal with what I see as under correction, for, of course, as attitude. Because immediately you are not able to deal with your attitude, there's no way that you can be able to assist yourself or you get assisted. So if perhaps they can be able to make an indication as to whether they see that there is a question of attitude in terms of their daily activities. Because to me, if there are three people that are attached to, am I correct that there are three people that are attached to? Yeah. Then I'll check as to what is their daily activities. Because to me, it means that if really these three people have got a plan as to what is it that they are going to do on a daily basis, something was supposed to have been done. It means now they don't have these three people, they do not have their own job description. They just go to work and incidentally they think as to what is it that I can do today. Oh, I can type something. Oh, I can call somebody. Because if really we can be in a position to assist these three people, they can be able to do the job. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Comrade Chair. No, it's the first question is, I think we had noted as both ourselves as a committee and the department that CEDA was over outsourcing, that it was itself not internally properly resourced. So that when the department speaks of CEDA having to resolve most of these problems, do they picture allowing CEDA to further expand outsourcing so that it meets their requirements? That's one question. Then the second question is, just randomly, out of the 400 cooperatives, fortunately, I'm asking somebody who also knows Soweto very well, how many cooperatives that you have funded are in Soweto? And then the last one, when the department comes back to report, they must note that we will primarily be interested on outcomes and impact. So that, you know, it is not at that stage where we will be given numbers, numbers, numbers. If numbers are given, it must just be part, but mainly it must be impact as well as outcomes. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
DG and the team. Honorable Kappa.
I am sensing that there are already some concrete proposals on the floor, which suggest to me that we're about to close this part, because there is no way that we are going to have the information now. And there is that question which Honorable Khoza was asking, that when can we expect this information? And I don't think we'll leave this meeting without coming to that, whether we say it's after we come from the oversight. But I don't think we'll leave this meeting without saying that. And I don't know whether this is a proposal of micromanagement, but I do suspect that there should be a way that Jeff and Mso give this information. And I don't know. It seems to me that the main problem is whether the DG can be able to get this information from them. But I don't believe that they are unable to collect this information. Jeff, we've been with him in KZN. It was clear that he has the capacity. Unless someone tells me otherwise, it was clear that he has that capacity. And somehow then we are not tapping on that capacity correctly. I don't know, but we must design a way of having the information come to us. And a time frame. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Crew.
Madam Chair, I'm just thinking of a way forward. I mean, there was a proposal on the table, and maybe we must discuss this proposal first, and then we can ask more questions. Because if the proposal or the motion carry, I mean, then the department, you know, can't answer any questions anymore. So maybe we must just finalize his proposal.
Allow me to chair the meeting. I will come to that proposal. Let us engage the department. Can the DG and the team respond?
Chair, definitely we can organize this information for the committee, but we need to get ample time, you know, because we need to be able to really go province by province in all, because the data is available, in all those cooperatives and go on the ground to go and engage and monitor them specifically and be able to provide that kind of an information. And I must say we are a unit of about three people. We've got myself and also a deputy director there, and then a team assistant. And then we do have a capacity maybe in the division that deals with incentives. If that personnel can be then deployed, specifically some of them, to assist us in that regard, I think this could be done. But it will take a bit of time. We need a bit of a few months to be able to organize that kind of data and be able to give you a thorough data. But I think moving forward, structurally, I must say, there is a need for the redesign of the organization to enable it to be geared specifically for all these purposes in that particular regard, because at the current level, it is not structured in that particular format. So we need to have a design that enables us to really being able to really provide these kinds of information that is required, because it's not only just at dispersal, which I'm hearing the committee saying, we need to disperse and then also post-dispersal investment, but also do development and then also monitor and evaluation. So you're dealing with a complete restructuring which has got different phases that needs to have people who can, it's a value chain engagement, so that you have capacity that is sitting in all the various value chains to be able to assist this particular process. So that is really the answer that I will give. And then in terms of the date, maybe if we could maybe be given about.
Chair, in coming to
information. Just clarity, Chairperson. The redesigning and restructuring that Jeff is talking about, can you clarify, is he talking about restructuring your unit, specific unit, or department?
Honorable Kruger, if there can be a response to the question from Honorable Measure, and followed by Honorable Kruger, that Honorable Kruger wants to ask as a follow-up right now, before the DJ responds.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm struggling to make sense of everything, and I know I was late. Maybe it's because I was late, I don't know. But, you know, I can't start a company myself and then appoint myself as the CEO, give me a market-related salary, and there's nobody, you know, that's doing the work. So somehow this, it seems like, and that's why I need clarity. It seems like this business of the department is very top-heavy, and there's nobody doing the core business of this department. And as I say, you can't appoint a CEO with a market-related salary if this company is not doing what they're supposed to do, and that is their core business, whatever they call business. So I don't understand the model. So maybe the department can come back. I don't expect them to give me the model now, but maybe they can come back and give me the sense and the understanding why is this a very top-loaded model that they use in the department.
Chair, when we were here last year around, I can't remember when we presented the program.
Sorry, did you? Honorable Meshwe is saying his follow-up question is directed to Ms. Ando.
I'd like to answer the question on the restructuring, Chair.
The question from Honorable Meshwe is not on restructuring. Can you repeat your question, Honorable Meshwe?
I wanted to understand what Jeff was saying, because he did speak about redesigning and restructuring. So the question was, is he specifically talking about his unit, or is he talking about the department? So you need to clarify what you were saying.
Chair, I was looking at the entire cooperative's unit to be able to be really, it needs to be designed in a manner that meets the mandate that is on the table in the discussion today, you see.
Honorable Mabas.
No, then a follow-up will be because Mr. Ndumo has been on cooperatives for over 10 years, you know, if I could. So this redesign of the unit, is it coming to mind now? You know, when did it come to his mind? Because I'm hearing that for the first time. And in the meantime, the people that are supposed to be assisted by cooperatives and SMMEs are many and in dire poverty. So, it's, I mean, he can't just be thinking of that now. He is a person who should have come with experience. He can't just execute. And then as he executes, he says he needs to restructure.
Also, in addition to that question, when the department was presenting to us the program review, very little was said about this unit of cooperatives. To such an extent that at DDG level, it was combined with SMMEs, and the portfolio committee was very much concerned about that, thinking that it will actually not give enough focus on cooperatives. They will just be a by-the-way thing. As it has been the case all the years, and also that thinking did not take into consideration that already
there's a report that says there's 88% failure rate of cooperatives in the country. And if one was to be very, very serious and say, can we do an assessment of how much government has invested from 1994 to where this report was actually commissioned and written, to assess the amount of money that has been spent in relation to the 88% failure rate. And we have not asked for that. We are asking for the department to take this into cognizance and say, moving forward, whatever we shall be doing and whatever systems we will put in place are systems that will take into account that a lot of money has been wasted and the results are very, very, very poor. 88% failure rate is extremely poor. But also, we were thinking that the department would take into account that cooperatives in their nature are a tool for community, social, and economic development. They are different from SMMEs. And therefore, if then the government of this country and the entire society through the NDP has said poverty is a problem, unemployment is a problem, inequality is a problem, what then happens as a result of poverty? Rape, crime, substance and drug abuse, all those social ills that are not addressed by the private sector. It would then be in the interest of this department to focus more on cooperatives, because cooperatives in their nature are a social capital. They worry themselves more about addressing social and economic problems in a community as opposed to the private sector. If I own my own business, I can do what I want to do with my money. If I want to buy an aeroplane, I can do that. Cooperatives don't operate in that way. They themselves have taken a decision. They have different principles. They have different values. So if this department understands that the role of cooperatives in community development, surely and very, very surely, not three people would have been deployed in that department. The deputy minister is repeatedly saying in this meeting that not all the people that migrated, it is not only three people who migrated from DTI who used to be in the cooperative unit. Some of the people have been shifted out of that unit. And that is the reality. So the issue of capacity also has to do with the manner in which the department is restructuring itself, guided by the consultants, not by the realities on the ground, not by what the cooperatives are saying, not by the results that we have seen in the past, and not by the reports of the portfolio committee. Which is why Honorable Khoza is saying, is the department willing to first deal with its own attitude? To change their own mindset and see things for what they are.
Chair, we are in the process of restructuring the department based both on the outcomes of the program review, which is the interim rearrangement last year. We have been working, I think when we presented the program review to the committee, we indicated that there are prescripts on how we should do this. We have been working with the DPSA on developing this new structure. When we were about to submit our new structure in November, we received feedback from DPME on our APP for next year and said, you have to change your role. Your job is not to compete with your entities and implement alongside your entities. This is what your mandate is and lead the small business and cooperatives development mandate, which required us to rework our strategy we've developed, and we will be looking forward to presenting to the committee what we call a portfolio strategy for DSBD, CIFA and CEDA, and our structure follows from that. So the context of Jeff saying we are restructuring and what our roles, it's all in that. When he says the component that he pays interest in would be cooperative development, that is true, because the different people who are responsible for different functions, they are the ones who must give the information on what the functions of those units must be that is considered by committees, etc., etc. What I think what I should have brought to the committee this morning, when I said I'm unable to provide the brief as I was directed, briefing as I was directed to do, I should have come and say to the committee, I'm not able to do that, but here is a plan, this is how I will approach it, and by that time I will do it. I don't have that plan. That's why I stopped Jeff from saying when he will do it, because I'm just asking, let's just give us a few days, as we did when we responded to the committee on the KZN cooperatives. We came the next meeting and we presented the committee with a plan. And I just asked for time for my colleagues and myself to think through how we will approach it, because I'm hesitant to make a commitment here and just without thinking through all of the expectations that are put here. Because I'm hearing the committee saying, we want to know what a developmental sense of all 400 cooperatives. And I must think through how we are going to approach that. Yes, there are other resources, people we can use. We can employ some of the CEDA staff to do it and other sources, but there's still work that is attached to it for the quickest way for us to be able to answer that question. On Honorable Kruger's question on do we have a database and the issue of double dipping, we have a database, tourism has a database, all departments have a database. And the issue of double dipping in government is real. We have an interdepartmental coordinating committee on SMMEs and cooperatives. We met as recently as Monday to do some work around that. And where that committee will ultimately, what we will arrive at, is a framework for how across government we will work with, we will approach the development of SMMEs and cooperatives and the reporting in that regard. One of the things that we are working on is a unique database. In fact, we have started some work with the IRO where they piloted a database, which they piloted on, was basically just on SME, on informal sector, which is in KZN and the Eastern Cape. We've presented that to the, and they're testing the people who have the technical capacity to do that. They're looking at the systems that four other departments have, DAS, DR, tourism, and public works, to look at the interoperability of the various systems. So It will take a longer time, but at some point we believe that what we must have is a shared database amongst government departments, and ultimately, and it will probably take another 2 years for us to get there, is that unique number when a business, a cooperative, an SMME, enters into the government system, then there needs to be that unique number. So just a sense of the work that's happening in that regard. The questions asked by Honourable Meshu about the capacity that there was in the DTI, how many cooperatives are ready to participate, why there are so many people in administration, what our structure looks like, I don't know if you want me to attempt to answer, but I can bring all of that information. I mean, the short answer on administration, it wasn't my personal decision to load it like that. There's a cabinet decision that says, there's a directive that says, this is how an administration of a government department should look. These are the minimum requirements. In order to meet all of the compliance procedures, you need a risk management unit. You need an internal audit unit. You need and there's various functions, and I can bring that, and the committee will then see that there are no excesses in that. It is basic functions that we need in order to govern the organization in a proper way. But I will be happy to put it there and for the committee to judge. In fact, while we have 105 people in administration, the reality is that many of those people are not the highly paid people. The administration, I speak under correction, but I think I don't have it right before me. But it takes up, or cost of employment takes up less than 30% of the total budget. And you'll be able to see what that breakdown is. About the risk of when we transfer functions to CEDA, that we will be transferring functions that will be outsourced. On Mubaza, I did say what we are busy doing right now is to discuss with CEDA those modalities of migration. And we will be vigilant about that. We have the right as the shareholder to be able to say how we expect certain things to be done, particularly if we are paying for that service. Because if we transfer monies to CEDA or programs, we also give them monies with the capacity, with the funding to implement that. I think I've answered all the questions, Chairperson.
I don't think so. There's a question that says, from the 1st of April, 30% procurement from SMME and cooperatives is going to be implemented, as well as the set aside. Can you tell us how many out of the 400 cooperatives funded by the department that will be ready to take advantage of that? Because if that is the expectation out there, government has set aside 30% of procurement out of the 500 billion for cooperatives. The expectation there is that there will be jobs and there will be poverty will go down, because now all of a sudden we will have access to the market. But the reality is, when FINA goes around to sign the transversal agreement for supply to other departments, what does she bring as information pillar, which says we do have the supply? There is a balance between the supply and the demand. Taking into account that it is the very same FINA that sits in the adjudication committee that looks at funding, which is a problem in as far as development of the supply base. So the question is, how many of those that you have assisted that will be ready to supply by the 1st of April?
Another outstanding one, Colleague Chair, I was saying, because you know, we start to suspect that the department does not know where is what. So I was saying, just as a test, out of the 400 here that are being assisted by the department, how many are in Soweto?
And there's a follow-up before the response from Honourable Charles and Honourable Cobb.
Thank you, Chair. And DG, if I'm not mistaken, the question about why the department did not outsource the monitoring and evaluation function to the DTI has not been answered.
Chair, I'm worried that we continue asking questions we're not going to get answers. Why do we continue missing the bull? That's my worry. We are wasting time.
Honourable Kapp, I don't think that we are wasting time. I think that as much as you are correct in saying that we are milking the bull, part of our job is to also ask questions that will make the department realize when it is not doing things right, so that it can go back and correct what it's doing. And the questions that we are asking are questions that are exposing the department. Firstly, that it doesn't have a strategy. Two, that it doesn't have a plan in place for development to balance the supply and the demand. They are running around signing transversal agreements and excited about the 30% implementation on the 1st of April. But the truth of the matter is that there are no people who are ready to supply. That is the reality on the ground. The retail sector has been here in 2014 to tell us that they are importing 70% of fresh produce, and they would want to replace that 70% with locally produced goods. But the bottleneck is in the department understanding the need to develop the supply base, and also to understand their mandate, that they are a developmental department, Department for Small Business Development. And they have not developed a strategy to execute that mandate of developing SMEs and cooperatives. They are doing other things. They are not focusing on development. Number two, they are mandated to coordinate, and they are not coordinating. They are even failing to coordinate with their own entities. So they are running around because it's easy to sign a transversal agreement. It's paperwork. So let us ask them these questions so that they can go back to the drawing board. Firstly, understand what their core business is. What is it that they've been mandated to do?
They are not mandated to dish out grants. They are mandated to develop small businesses and cooperatives. Honorable Chan?
Chair, the problem with that suggestion is that when this fifth parliament rises in whenever it is, first quarter of 2019, we're still going to be asking for them to go back to the drawing board, which means we've had five wasted years. Surely it's time for a more fundamental intervention. You know, we can't just give them meeting after meeting after meeting, come back, you know. I mean, I actually agree with Honorable Carver here. Put them out of their misery. Let the torture end now. End the meeting. We're getting nothing.
On the question of why we did not outsource the M&E function to the DTI, simply because there wasn't a willingness to provide any further support to the department. DTI, you've got to enter in. We were operating with an M&E, a cooperation agreement, and the cooperative, you can't just and I mean, we on the same campus to get simple services from them. As the landlord of the place, is it's very difficult because you need cooperation from individuals. I've indicated that I've met with the DG and we were able to agree to certain things that they will assist us with. I mean, another function that sits with them are the IT platform. The letters that we send to cooperatives or SMMEs once we issue a grant, that system is also still sitting with the DTI. And we had to negotiate and plead to have access to it. It wasn't the cooperation agreement ended with the DTI, and the only agreement that we have right now is, and we thought that it was important to build our own capacity in monitoring and evaluation. On the questions that you ask, Chair, about we can tell you about at least 40. I think I've said that 75% of the cooperatives we support are in the agriculture sector, and we can tell you about 46 of those, but where their readiness to participate in a trade-off agreement, but it is not necessarily with government. We can tell you about another 60, and that is also as a result of a transversal agreement outside of government. We can tell you of another 60 cooperatives that in the manufacturing sector that will also benefit from a cooperative agreement to demonstrate that our transversal agreement is not just a piece of paper that we have. I cannot respond off the cuff and say how many cooperatives are ready to participate in the 30% set-aside. I can come back with that information, and all I can say, it is based on the transversal agreements that we have with different departments and where there's an agreement on or the process that we have put in place. Because ultimately, you're right, Chair, it is about supply, and we will advise the committee of how we will go about providing that supply.
DJ, Honorable Kappa is correct that we need to end this meeting. Because we write a letter to the department inviting the department to come and account to us, present a report. The department comes to us and tells us that they are not ready, they want to be given enough time. During interaction, it comes out that there is information that is being held back by the department, which was just referred to, DG, right now. And you will then need to explain to to us as to why you held back that information. Which you are not prepared to put down on paper and present it to us as a report. You come to us and ask for an extension of time, and you want to engage in a process that will give us the report at a time that you want to give us the report, not when we wanted the report. Because what you have just said now, your last input, indicates that there is a report, but you are not willing to present that report to us. You want to present it at a time that you want to. And it is a problem for us. The second problem for us is the issue of outsourcing, outsourcing, outsourcing. And I will write a letter again to the department, asking the department to come back and present a report on a specific date. That will be determined by us, not the department. Honorable Chance and Honorable
Chair, 2 points. First was relating to my very first question, which was when was the decision made not to present this report? Because I can tell you right now, she brought the presentation, the DG, but she had a look at it and had second thoughts. She had cold feet because it wasn't adequate. It didn't present the picture that she believed the committee was wanting to hear. So she said, I can't do it. That's my judgment. The second thing, Chairperson, is I think that we must demand that we call Minister Davis and the Director General of the DTI to this committee and put questions to them as to why they sabotaged the Department of Small Business Development when it was formed to such an extent that it was not able to perform its duties. And if you recall, when we started this committee, for the first 2 months of its existence, we had joint meetings with the Department of Economic Development and the Department of Trade and Industry. Right? And we put questions to the ministers and the officials relating to how they were going to manage the formation of the Department of Small Business Development. And I think it's abundantly clear from this meeting that they have failed the country in their duty to capacitate this department sufficiently to enable it to do its job. And I honestly mean think that the DTA has got to account for itself. Why is it that the functions that were promised in terms of the cooperation agreement were unilaterally withdrawn, if what we're being told is correct? And if that is not correct, then we need to be told directly by the people responsible in the DTI. So that is my request, Chair, that a letter be sent by yourself to those two individuals to come and account for the appalling situation that we find ourselves in, where the department simply cannot do its job.
Did you?
Chair, I did not say the services was unilaterally withdrawn with the DTI. I said that we had a cooperation agreement for, firstly, the first few months when the department was just established. A new cooperation agreement was put in place for 2015-16, and that agreement was extended twice in that time until the end of the 15-16 financial year. So the agreement ended. And the agreement ended on the assumption that the department is now ready to do all of its functions. The agreement mainly centered around HR services, IT services, facilities, etc. It did not focus on any content. So I did not use the word that the services from the DTI were unilaterally withdrawn. I said we operated under an MOU, and maybe I should say specifically, M&E was not provided for in that function, in that MOU, so there was no withdrawal of that function.
If I may say, that still doesn't absolve the responsibility of the departments, DTI and yourselves, to make sure that those M&E functions were retained somewhere as part of the CIS.
My understanding of this matter is that the migration process, to some extent, disadvantaged the Department of Small Business Development. In that, even within the department itself, you were not engaging as a collective and taking advantage of the fact that the deputy minister had more knowledge and information of what services remained with DTI, which are designed for small businesses. And you need to admit to that, that the department itself failed itself by not taking advantage of the fact that the deputy minister was more informed of all services that were there in DTI, which were designed for small business development. By not involving her, you find yourself in a situation where you were then negotiating from a position of weakness. In that, some of very critical elements for development of SMMEs and cooperatives remained with DTI, which is what Honorable Chance is referring to when he is saying DTI sabotaged the Department of Small Business and sabotaged the country. Because it's not about a department, it's about a government, and it's about delivering a service and the tools that are required in order to deliver that service. And if monitoring and evaluation was designed for development of SMMEs and cooperatives and resided in DTI, because at that time that program was in DTI, there was no reason for it to remain with DTI when that function and mandate migrated out of DTI. Another program that remains with DTI is the program that provides critical infrastructure for development of supporting SMMEs and cooperatives, critical infrastructure, road infrastructure for municipalities that do not have that capacity. That program is still with DTI. And SMMEs and cooperatives are with the Department of Small Business. So look at yourself first in terms of how you handled the negotiations and failed to work as a collective. That is the first issue. The second issue is that as this portfolio committee, we have a responsibility of bringing it to the attention of the Department of Trade and Industry that in actual fact what you have done, you have sabotaged the program of developing SMMEs and cooperatives in the country. Because you are retaining with you resources that are supposed to have migrated to the Department of Small Business Development. And the third issue is the issue of the department itself, understanding its mandate and then resourcing itself within that mandate. But also the department coming out of a silo mentality to see itself more as a coordinator the role that was played by the Department of Sport and Recreation when the country was preparing for 2010. The Department of Sport and Recreation never, never built airports. But it played a role that made sure that AXA was able to do so. The Department of Sport and Recreation never built the stadium. But it made sure that it uplifted that need to a level where those who were responsible to build the stadium were able to do so. This department is not playing that role, which it is supposed to play, to ensure that all those that are supposed to play a particular role based on their core mandates are able to do so. That is what we want to discuss with the department. But in terms of this report that we want, I will write a letter and put a date on which we want the report. And the report will be presented to the portfolio committee at a date determined by the portfolio committee, not the department. Yes. Honorable Mwabe.
Thank you, Chair. No, mine is just a plea, Chairperson, that in the future when the department is not ready to present whatever report, they must just write a letter because as a committee, we cannot be seen contributing to fruitless expenditure. You can't take flights from Pretoria to Cape Town just to say one sentence, please give us time, and then take a flight back to Pretoria. That one should not be endorsed, Chairperson. It's a fruitless expenditure, and we cannot accept it.
Another plea from my side. We have been told that restructuring is taking place. And obviously, consultants are going to be used. Many of them who do not have a feel on what's happening on the ground, who do not hear what people are saying on the ground. I would propose that the chief director of cooperatives be allowed to redesign, because he has worked on the ground. He knows what the people are saying. He knows about, he has worked with cooperatives. That he be given space, rather than it be given to the consultants who have not engaged with cooperatives, that he be mandated, so that when it fails, when this unit fails, then he will not blame the consultant, but it will be him. So I would make that, because it would also save money, that he take the responsibility for that, because from my reading between the lines, the man is paid to do that, because we are confident that he has the capacity to do it.
The last advice to the department. Please come out of the silo mentality. There are 44 district municipalities in the country, and all local municipalities are part of a district municipality. And there is no cooperative that is hanging on the air. Each cooperative is in a particular ward of a particular local municipality. Even in metros, each cooperative is in a particular ward of a municipality. So this issue of capacity, in terms of getting the information and progress report, in terms of a development, when in each and every municipality there is an LED office, I really don't understand where does it come from, unless we are talking to people who don't understand how government is structured and who are hell-bent to follow a silo mentality and do not appreciate that there is one government in South Africa. So the information that you would be looking for in terms of
the stage of development of a cooperative, in my view, doesn't need a consultant. The best person to talk about that information is an LED office of a municipality. And those people are already paid. They are in the system of government, they are already paid. There is no municipality that doesn't have an LED office staffed. And if the information comes from the department going to that municipality, they will trace that to the ward, that cooperative to the ward. And they will give the information within a week, because they will just send a person to go and look at a cooperative and interview those people and bring back their report without having to go out, use the systems of the of government. They exist, but if then we are talking about capacity to plan, then we can be talking. If the capacity that we are talking about is capacity to strategically plan, then we are talking another issue. But capacity in terms of warm bodies in each and every municipality, there is an LED office. They have that information. Problem is the Department of Small Business doesn't want to interact with those offices. That is the problem. Instead, they want to use consultants. Now, if I may ask, if it is the consultants that are going to be charged to be the work of tracing this is going to be done by a firm of consultants, how many people will that firm have to do that work, as opposed to the number of LED managers that exist in the country? And why would you want to spend money on something, on information that you can easily get by using your own structure, the structures of government? Why would you want to outsource? So there is a very, very big problem with the manner in which the department approaches its work. Number two, there are SEDA offices in all provinces. And it took the portfolio committee 5 days to round up 12 cooperatives, having meetings, by the way, and engaging with all municipalities. And SEDA is there every day, 365 days. But it is, again, not possible to do a follow-up. In my view, it's not the issue of capacity in terms of manpower. It's the issue of capacity in terms of strategic planning. And all that we are asking is go and think clearly on how you are going to approach this, but you're not in report, you're not the iPhone. And when we are asking for this report, we are also getting it on our own, using our own means. And if we are able to get that report without having our consultants, it means the department can get it. So all that we want to check in, Aguti, does your report speak to what we are getting on the ground? We are getting our own report through our own means. We are using the very same structures as government. On our side, it will be councillors. On your side, it will be LED managers. So through constituency offices and through councillors, we are able to get Tina the information that we want. So don't come thinking that we don't have any sense of what is happening on the ground. We do have. So that brings us to the end of item number one. We then go to item number two. Members can take the tea and the refreshments. We are then going to deal with the report.
Bakapa. Okay, it's been in there. See, and as of Funa, it be what that man and it been. The MP, I mean, I say, I just can't see. I can't see. Hi, boy. I'm Carter. I'm playing Ganga.
We need to. It's my view. You can call me to order if it is if I'm out of order. Last week in the house, Honorable November read a statement, and because of ill health, she was struggling to read, and even standing up, those of us who serve in this committee could see that she was struggling. But there were members from the house who were howling and ridiculing her to such an extent that one member actually stood up and went to her and tried to give her the glasses, which was not actually the issue. The issue was not the glasses. The issue was that here is a member that is committed, coming to work. She's been sick, and we know as members of this portfolio committee, and we appreciate that she comes to work. I'm raising this because in this committee, we have members that represent other political parties, and I'm asking those members to sensitize their members in their political parties that as much as we can, we are allowed to howl and ridicule, but also we should be sensitive to not overdo things. And it touched me, and I didn't like it. Honorable
Ma'am, I agree with you. I had a discussion with Honorable Mbasa about the same issue. And from my side, and it's not a political It's not from my party, it's from my side, personal side. I also think that the ANC must be more sensitive about this, because they are actually the caucus is supposed to know about Honourable November's health issue, and they should have never allowed her to even try to read the statement. And so, yes, I hear what you say, and I agree 100%, but from my side, I also ask that the ANC caucus be more sensitive when people's ill health. I had a discussion with my friend here, and I think that's my issue. I felt very sorry for my colleague. Thank you.
No, indeed, Honorable Kruger had a discussion with me, informally, I mean, after the event, but I pointed out to Honorable Kruger that the people that ridiculed Honorable November were wrong, and they are wrong. That's one point. The second point is that we should never discriminate amongst ourselves. We should never get to a stage where we say Comrade Kapa must never read a statement because he may be ill. You know, that all of us can fall ill any minute. But the other point that I pointed out to Honorable Kruger is that some illnesses, you yourself do not feel it at the moment to a degree where you feel you cannot execute a task. So that had Honorable November felt that she is not in a position to execute the task, she would have asked one of the members to do the task for her. But the nature of the illness, it's like being dizzy. If I walk to the bathroom now, I will walk to the bathroom unaided, but I may fall on the way. So I cannot be blamed that why didn't I ask somebody to accompany me? It's because I did not know that I may have an attack. So even the ANC, it wouldn't be proper to blame the ANC, the organization, because it is only when it happens that the nearest member of the ANC reads the follow-up on behalf of Honorable November. But even Honorable November herself could not have known that she is not well enough to read the statement. But let me end by saying, I wouldn't be comfortable with us taking a position where we say Honorable November or myself must not be given a task because we anticipate I may be ill. Any one of us can be ill without warning. Thanks.
All I am appealing for is that we should be sensitive and sensitize our parties about certain issues, because we are also adults and we are parents, and there are children who are watching us when we do such things to others. And I'm sure if Honorable November's children were watching on television when she was being ridiculed, knowing that their mother is sick, especially on the member that even went to an extent of taking the glasses and doing this. It doesn't. Even if she wasn't reading well, there was no need for all those things that were done and said to her. It had nothing to do with the content of what she was reading. It had more to do with the fact that she was struggling to read. And it was not the first time that she was standing up to speak in Parliament. We all know when she is well, she is able to execute her duties diligently. That's all I'm asking for, that members of this committee, because the statement was also about SMMEs. If we can just be sensitive and talk to our caucuses, can we then get to the business of the report? Firstly, start by thanking the support staff for producing the report.
Is there no way? I thought maybe we'll find a way of concluding that last part when the department have left. Not unless we will decide next time, because there are some things we have to say now as a committee on this issue of the.
No, you can go ahead on that issue. You can go ahead.
I was thinking that we should have some concrete proposals as a department, so that we can instruct the department, the officials, what we expect from them, and including deciding here that when we want that report. That's one of the things I thought maybe as a committee would say, definitely want this report by this time, and we don't compromise. But also, there is one thing definitely clear. I'm sorry to say this, that the DG is not assisting us. He's not assisting this department and this committee. And this is not taking us anywhere. I'm sorry to mention this part, because it has to be addressed now. And if it is addressed in another way, maybe it won't assist us. But something we have to, I don't know. But we have that challenge. So we have to try and address these issues, because at the end of the day, it affects our performance as a committee in Parliament. Thank you.
Honourable Laos, followed by Honourable Mwabe.
Chairperson, thanks. It's very much embarrassing what is happening. I tried to put a political sense in the morning here of the main idea of the government about the poor people, radical economic transformation. So since day one, you were very much honest to teach everybody about this agenda of government of empowering the people. You made so many examples about the department response during the 2010, but there's nobody taking you serious. Even the ministry itself, they don't even care of coming here to the committee. Either the minister or the deputy minister, both of them, they are always apologizing. 90% of them is an apology. I don't know what are they busy with. This new department, which is struggling to stand up. So, as much as we say the DG must fall, I think we must also check the ministry there politically in your party, as a ruling party. That are the people deployed here serious about what the mandate of this department? We can't sit here always complaining about the the resources, everything, mandate transfer from DTI. So there is a huge problem, and it's not only within the department, even the cabinet. You see, we can't have the treasury to have this budget. And this budget is going to be, it's just on the periphery, it's going to be established after the medium MedTef. So I don't know what is your interference, because if you are on your NEC, put it in the agenda there.
in your NEC meeting so that the cluster of they must know that they mustn't blame you tomorrow that you were deployed there. They know your knowledge of cooperatives and Tatana Mabasa, they know your involvement in the cooperatives and small businesses, but it's like you'll be counted to the failures because of this bunch of lazy people in the department. So I will be hard because I'm from the opposition party. You will make it, clean it in a good way. I will speak raw as it is. We'll refine it. So it's very painful because this department was made specially to change the life of the people. Because it's like everybody's been hijacked by white monopoly capital. This, you said it very clearly. Even this thing of tendering of the individual is nothing good to, it's empower only one person. But these cooperatives, it empower the nation. It can transform the people from the indigent register, you see. But it's like it's been sabotaged by the Department of DTI itself. That's why I said it's huge. It involves the cabinet. War of Davis, they are not helping anything about this thing. They enjoy just to take one company to go to overseas and make show off there. People are suffering down here. All of them, economic development, they are not assisting at all this agenda. We are just on the periphery. But in your NDP, if you read it clearly, you can see that no, this NDP, they just made it, this capitalist, they make it so that vision 30 years, they know that by that time, Urut Dengo will be not there. Most of the people will be not there. There will be new other leadership who will say, now let's change this strategy, another 30 years. You see? That's why I echo with the president when he's always talk about the economic transformation in a radical way. But even if he can talk, but if he doesn't have support, even if you can teach them every day, the same example, sports and arts and culture, the problem is UG. The DG, she's lost totally. She can talk, she can talk because she's an academic. You know, in academic, we talk scholarship language. We can talk 30 minutes, you can't hear anything. You can't understand what these people talking. It doesn't assist. So we need people who will talk, who will calm down. This thing of professors, doctors and everything, in the other department it doesn't work. It will work at the education there and everything. Yeah. You see, because if I can start to talk in a language of legality, who rest no lose, how the Atram Patem rule, you can't understand me. That's what we're hearing here. Project management, hey, what? No, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear the real framework and the motive of the department. I think maybe the chairperson, you must take a time, you go there to the department straight and workshop them. Because we're not assisting. Otherwise, I'm saying the DG must fall. Simple as that. Thank you, chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the opportunity. No, firstly, let me just support Honorable Mlaudzi and make it a formal proposal that we recommend that we fire the DG. There's no way you can keep with this DG who's arrogant but they have nothing to show as to whether she understood what she was employed to do. As Mlaudzi has correctly quoted, this department is not Department of the Academics. Sick Chairperson, at some stage I was the secretary of the convocation of University of KwaZulu-Natal, and sometimes I would sit in university councils with these academics. This is the language.
Yeah.
And at some stage, I was a member of the SRC. And when they want to confuse us, they will come, all of them. And they will listen to us and acknowledge what they are saying and speak to an extent where we'll ask for a break and go for the tea. And we'll come back, they will speak up until we decide, you know what, let us just go out and do it. Because we don't know where we are going with them. So it's a similar environment. So that's a proposal I want to make. Let's fire the DG. But number two, I will agree and support what Honorable Chan said. Let's also have a DTI. Let's invite them. Because we'll keep on talking about the DTI in our committees. Let's invite them together with the Treasury. Because if the Treasury do not have this vision of 9 million jobs, they will keep on giving us a small slice of the budget, something that is contrary with the vision of the department and the vision of the state president. So those would be my recommendation, that we invite both of these departments, but also let us be vocal and say to our fellow ANC MPs, please influence whoever, whether it's the minister or the president, to fire the DG and give us someone who will understand and who will not be arrogant. Remember, when Honorable Reverend Mesho was asking Undumo to explain the issues of transformation or restructuring, she silenced him and wanted to respond. Up until Chair, you intervene and say, no, let Undumo explain. It seems to me that even some members of this department, in as much as they understand us now, but they are scared of the DG. They are somehow stressed and confused as to what to do. So the better thing, let's fire the DG. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Novem. To me, it sounds too crass in Afrikaans. I think what we should do, first of all, is to talk with her, but not as a whole committee, maybe the chairperson and one, and the chief and the whip of the committee, and then one from each party, just to talk, to show her that this is the way to go and not that way. Because that's why it's our starting point, to talk before a warning letter, and then a warning letter, then from the letter, it's firing. We don't just fire in every department. We don't just fire. We first of all sit down, and then we talk the problem through. Once we're talking the problem through, then the next step is the letter, and then the action. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, look, I think that members of the committee are of the view that the DG has a lot to answer for, but it's not up to the committee to fire the DG. That's not our job. What is our job is to call the minister to account, because she's ultimately responsible for what goes on in her department, both politically and in terms of the management of her department. And it's absolutely clear that her absence and the absence of her deputy over the last year or two, or progressively in the last few months, is an indication of her running away from the issues. She's not prepared to confront the issues. And as I said earlier to the DG, that if in an organization you're in denial about the problems, you're never going to fix them. And I remember us having a strategic session in the, I think it was in E249, probably 2 years ago, where we were asking the minister to tell us about her problems, to sort of come out with what are the challenges she's facing. And she visibly and orally expressed her frustrations with what she was finding in terms of the obstructionism that she encountered when she took over her department. And I gave her the opportunity, politically, at that point, to wield the knife, and she hasn't done it. And now she has the opportunity again to wield the knife, and she has to wield the knife. Otherwise, she's going to find that this committee just becomes more and more antagonistic towards her. We want to help her. I mean, that's the strange thing about it. Even me, believe it or not. You know, because the department, it's so critical. And Chair, I don't think you were in the House yesterday when I read a motion. I read a notice of motion in which I wished that this House debates that, notwithstanding the fact that the NDP is expecting 90% of jobs to be, you know, created by small business, that the department only receives 0.1% of the budget. Yeah. There's a massive disconnect there. Now, why is it? What is the problem here? Is it that the Treasury doesn't believe the department can use the money, which is probably the case, actually? They think, well, why give this department money when they don't know how to spend what they've already got? Or is it because of some other reason, which we don't understand? But we have to debate this, Chairperson, and I request that you ask that your Chief Whip, Honourable Ntembu, take this, when the DA proposes the motions to be debated, that you call upon the Chief Whip to be, that this motion be placed upon the programme of the National Assembly, so that we as a committee can raise in the nation's awareness the problems that are facing this department, and the political battles that are going on between the Treasury and this department and other departments. In the budget, I'm sorry to go on about this, but there was a major omission in the budget speech, which is that the Treasury has not committed its 1.5 billion Rand matching funds to the SME fund that was set up with the CEO's initiative. You know what I'm talking about. In February last year, Minister Gordon and the CEO's initiative led by Jabu Mabuza set up, in principle, a fund to support small businesses. And the private sector has already put its hand in its pocket and put the money on the table, 1.5 billion rand. And in questions to both the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Small Business Development, I asked them, when is it going to be placed on the table from government side? And they said, well, budgetary processes have to be followed. No mention of that in the budget. Why? These are fundamental questions, and it comes back to the problem that the department is just not functioning. So I really ask that this be, you know, taken up at an NEC level, certainly at a Lekota level, and we ask the minister to come and explain what is going on in her department.
What's that? Okay, Honor Khoza.
Chairperson, I thought I was coming for the adoption of the report, although we are still debating the department. And I think the allocation that is given to the department is, in simple terms, the incapacity of the department to manage itself. Then I think Treasurer has just assessed the department that we cannot give them more because they fail to manage themselves, to manage a report that is supposed to be tabled to the committee. So how can they be able to manage the billions or the trillions of money that is supposed to be there? I think we somehow I want to emphasize the fact that even though the DG sidelined the issue of the attitude of the department because she could not come out clean. So if we cannot push them to the line where they will be able to realize that there is a need for a change of attitude, then we cannot go anywhere. It can be better off for us to not to sit here and waste time because we are speaking to people who cannot listen. If we can be able to reflect back on all the instances where we're saying, can you go and do this? To me, it appears that the committee is playing the role of being the department because it's doing the work that is supposed to be done by the department. Thank you.
Honorable Chapa, as a person who has proposed that we should find a way of closing this matter and how we are going to address it, can you summarize what we are saying?
That is the duty of the chair. Mine was to have an input. I'm sorry about that, chair.
I didn't mean you take over, but I thought Kuti you would comment. Kuti, do you see us moving towards the direction where you were pushing us to in the input?
No, thank you very much. I believe our collective understanding, we have a common understanding of the problem, and therefore what we need now is a common approach. Definitely for now, we know that it is within the department, all the problems within the department. Therefore, these are the things we have to address. That's why sometimes I was even saying it can sound like micromanagement, because I was even thinking that sometimes you can just look for this report direct from Jeff, let him send it to King. We have had the information, but that it was not necessary. It's not an approach, but I was just frustrated because it seems to me, as you were saying, that the information is there somewhere. That's why I was having the question of who actually is not having the capacity. Because at the end of the day, it's the DG who does not have capacity. The people below her do have the capacity, but that capacity does not work if someone above does not have it. That's the problem. The information she is having there and there, but she can't just collate that information and bring that together. The information that you had last time about all the projects, that was last year, but now, till this year, she just can't work on top of that, work on that program that we're having. She was having, I would think they were having almost all the 400 projects, having them according to districts and local municipalities. But now that motion has just disappeared. She can't develop and work on that and have what we want now. That's why I wanted to make it clear that, to me it's clear that it's her who does not have this capacity. Then how do we address that? How do we address that? I don't. That's a serious one now, because what do we do? Is it our responsibility to make her have capacity? I think it's not, but I don't know what we do. At the end of the day, my worry is that it affects our performance as a committee, which we don't want to be dented. But I sincerely believe that our approach will take us there. Let's give ourselves time. But now I think maybe today at least we must be able to suggest the time, as you were saying, that report must come on our terms and on the date that is determined as by us. And I can assure you that if we are hard enough and harsh enough, that report will come. That report will come, because it's that arrogance that she's having that makes her not to come with this report. And maybe that arrogance is linked with limited intelligence, because those things, of course, if you are arrogant and not intelligent enough, that's another problem. But I think we are having our approach will take us there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I see the Honourable Crook.
Just a last thought. Maybe Honourable Kapa can give us some his thoughts of the efficiency of the DG when she was the DG of Agriculture. I don't know if he was then on that committee. Oh, did you come late? Okay. No, that's right. So you were there. So maybe we can just, because if it was a problem in Agriculture as well, I mean, then it will be definitely an attitude problem.
But if it's just a problem in small business department, then maybe there's a capacity problem. I don't know.
I say that we are pressed with time because members of the DA have to leave at 1, and we are supposed to be going through this report. But I think that it was also important for us to discuss this issue because it is creating a huge problem. We are actually peddling backwards. I think that the solution to this problem comes from, one, the fact that all of us can see that there is a problem in the department. And we have identified the problem mainly to be with the DG, in a sense that she would come with the reports that are not up to standard and also not respond to what we are asking for in time and take a roundabout way. But there is also an issue of what powers do we have? Can this committee do anything about a DG? And the answer is no. And then Honorable Chance comes up with another diagnostic in that area. If the DG is unable to manage the department, it also goes to the political head. The only person that we can engage with is the political head, who is the minister, and then invite the minister to engage with her on the performance of her department. I think that would be the starting point. For us to raise these issues of how frustrated we are, what do we see happening in her department, and give her an opportunity to respond to what we are seeing. I would think that that is how we can then begin to address this issue. I don't know whether that... we agreed on that. So, in conclusion on this matter, I will then write a letter to the minister expressing the views of the portfolio committee about the performance of the department, and then invite the minister to come and appear to the portfolio committee for the portfolio committee to engage her on the performance of her department. Is that fine? Okay. Thank you. Can we then move to the next item? It's 1 o'clock.
I'm sorry to be dashing away, but I did read the report this morning, and I think it's an excellent report. It's a bit long-winded and repetitive at times, but as somebody who didn't visit, you know, during the week, but has knowledge of what's, you know, what the issues are, I think it's it pulls no punches. And I did refer to it in what I was saying earlier, that it further emphasizes the fact that the department hasn't the foggiest idea what it's doing, and it's failed in all of its objectives, and it's a big problem. I'm actually going to be visiting one of the co-ops near Hillcrest on Friday because I have to be there for something else, and I'm going to be popping in and saying hello, and I'll go and see for myself what are the issues. But I think, you know, the committee will obviously deliberate the report, but I think it just points to the general incompetence that we're witnessing in this department.
Any issues that you have wanted to add on the report? No?
Not really. I mean, okay. It's just that the department hasn't answered any of the questions. That's the problem. You know, and the CIS, I mean, notwithstanding the fact that Mr. Ndumo, I've known Mr. Ndumo for over 10 years, since 2006 when I was running the Soweto Festival and he was supplying co-ops to come and exhibit at this event. So, I mean, you can't ask the guy to restructure his own place when he should have been doing it years ago. It needs a fresh approach. And the fact that the department did not engage with the municipalities until a week before your visit, and it was the first time that most of those municipalities had even heard of these co-ops, is completely inexplicable. It's bonkers, mad. The other thing which is really very interesting about this report is the fact that the Etiquini municipality has a 600 million rand budget for small business development. That's almost half of the entire national department's budget on small business development. I mean, doesn't that just tell you everything about the problem that we have? So there's a lot of questions that have to be asked on this, and I really would think, you know, this committee needs to go through this report when everybody's read it. Let's not use the time of this committee to read the report. Let's come to the committee when everybody has read the report, so we can use the time profitably in, you know, analyzing its implications and recommendations.
Okay, that's members, it's 1 o'clock. I need your guidance in terms of how we move forward. If everyone read the report, do you want us to deliberate on it today, or want us to defer it to another day? Honorable Mngabe, followed by Honorable Chop.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I've read the report, but could not finish. It's quite a long one. Although I may read the pages I've read, but that doesn't mean I'm saying let's adopt it based on what on the pages I've read. I will request, Chair, that we defer the matter, but prioritize it for the first meeting. Seemingly today our time was consumed by trying to chase the wind, as I said earlier on. Now on the next meeting we prioritize it and then we adopt it, continue with the business of that particular day. But we will not be doing justice to the matter itself if we rush it now in lunch time. I really propose that we defer the matter. Thanks.
Honorable Chap.
Thank you, Chair. I concur with what Honorable Mngabe is saying, but also further saying that maybe now when we defer it, when we come back, we definitely come to conclusions on the basis of the findings and concrete recommendations that are brought together and that are synthesized, as we have recommendations on various projects, like that concrete one of interaction with the, because that was one part, very important absent part, that one of interaction with the local municipality and so on, which was very, very important. But now we should come with a conclusion which becomes our conclusion and agreement and recommendation on the basis of this report, having read it thoroughly. Thank you, Chair.
Is there any contrary view? Thank you. That brings us to the end of the meeting. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Yes.